This is the story of Big Igor. Big Igor. It was the middle of the night in the house of the great Hilchot Tzaddik, Reb Baruch. Reb Baruch of Mezibush. All of a sudden he called his Hasidim over to him, the Hasidim that were in his house. And Reb Baruch is known to do very mysterious, wondrous things that people cannot understand. Like in the Hanukkah story, where the Hanukkah licht lifted up from the menorah and went out into the forest, and of course that whole amazing maaseh, a wondrous maaseh from Reb Baruch, and this is also a very interesting, wondrous maaseh from Reb Baruch. And all of a sudden he calls his Hasidim and he says, I would like you to go to my wife in the next room and tell her that she should be prepared tomorrow to receive from me a get. Now, Kenelach, a get is a divorce. Now, the Hasidim started to shake. They were so surprised, all of a sudden, Reb Baruch wants to divorce his wife. As we know, this is a very sad thing usually, or maybe always. And Reb Baruch and his wife had shalom bayis. They always got along so well. Reb Baruch was a tzaddik, and his wife, the Rebbetzin, was a tzaddikus, and all of a sudden he says he wants to divorce his wife. And he says, go to the next room and tell my wife that she should be prepared tomorrow to receive from me a divorce. And ask her please to come to me because I have to speak to her about it. Well, Kanalat the Hasidim had to do what the Rebbe told them to do. And they go shaking into the next room and they say, Rebbetzin, your husband Reb Baruch wants us to give you a message. She says, yes. You're supposed to be prepared tomorrow to receive a get. And of course she was very surprised. But she was also used to all kinds of strange, wondrous things, but this seemed to be very serious. And he said, Reb Baruch wants to see you in the next room, please. And the Rebbetzin goes to the next room, and Reb Baruch says to the Rebbetzin, or asks her, are you prepared tomorrow to receive from me a get? And she says, I have always done what you wanted, and I've never gone against your will, and if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Mekinelach, the Hasidim and the Rebbetzin noticed in the face of Reb Baruch was like a halak of fire, like his face was on fire with a halakite, like he was sitting there in the room, but at the same time as if he was far away. And there was a look in his eyes, as if he was looking at them and looking at something far away at the same time. Once in a while, or maybe more than once in a while, this is the way the face of the tzaddik looked. If you ever saw, Kenelach, I don't know if you ever saw this, and in fact many tatis didn't get a chance to see this, but it used to be on Rosh Hashanah, after the Rebbe blew the shofar, the Rebbe would go back to his place. And when he went to his place, he would turn around and look at everybody in the shul. There was a certain look that he looked at everybody in the shul. And it says, not only he would look at everybody in the shul, this was a special look that the Rebbe gave to the neshamis of all the Yidden. as if the Rebbe is looking on the neshamas of all the Jewish people after Tekiah Shefer. It's a very special time. I saw it at least one time. It's very difficult to see because so many people are trying to see. But I'll never forget the look in the Rebbe's eyes when he turned around. It's very hard to find words to tell you, but that's kind of what it was like. Like the Rebbe was there looking at you, but as if the Rebbe was looking far away at the same time. And he had such a halik look in his face. It was an incredible schus just to see that. And this is what Reb Baruch was looking like. They understood something is happening here. They didn't understand exactly what's going on. All of a sudden, Reb Baruch says to the Hasidim, it says in the Torah, it's not good for a person to be alone. I will not have a wife, because I'm going to give my wife a get. And then I'm going to be alone. It's not good for a person to be alone. So therefore, I would like you, Hasidim, to find me a shidduch. Well, they started to shake again. Well, we have to find Reb Baruch a shidduch. All of a sudden, he wants to get married to somebody else, and he just told his wife he's giving her a divorce, and now he wants us to find him a shidduch. They didn't know what to do. He says to them, "Who do you think would like to make with me a shidduch?" Well, they didn't know what to say. I mean, anybody would love to make a shidduch with a great tzaddik like that, but like, what's going on? And then all of a sudden Reb Baruch says, about 5 miles away from here lives one of my Hasidim. He has a little restaurant and he has a very beautiful daughter who is already old enough to be a kalamaiden. She's very beautiful and very special and very able, with very special midos, a very fine Edela Yerushalayim Yiddish girl. Don't you think that this chassid of mine would like to have me as his chassid? And don't you think that it would be good for me to make a shidduch with this girl? Well, can Allah, the chassidim said, well, for sure your chassid would be thrilled to have you as his chassid, and the girl would probably be thrilled to have a great tzaddik like you as her husband. And the tzaddik Reb Baruch said, okay, let's now make a vort. You know what a vort is? In other words, let's make a party that I am going to be the chassid and this girl will be the kala. And now we need somebody, and he called over one of his chassidim, you be the shliach, you be the representative for the girl's father. And even though he's not here, but since we decided it's going to be a good thing, let's make it like you are going to be his shliach. And let's now make a kinyan. They do a special thing to make it official that it's going to be a shidduch. And let's break a plate. And they broke the plate, and everybody said, Mazel Tov. And Reb Baruch said, let's bring Mashke and Mezainis, and let's make L'chaim. And they started singing Nigunim. And they made now, like a little vort, like a little party with L'chaim and Mezainis, and singing Nigunim and saying Mazel Tov. And Reb Baruch says, now I'm a chassan to this girl. And then all of a sudden he says to the chassidim, if this girl is my kala, and she's so special and so beautiful, and I'm her chassan, and we already made it official with breaking a plate and a kinyan, and they even wrote what's called tanoim, which makes it very official that they write for a chassan and a kala, he says, do you think that a rasha should chas v'shalom take away my kala from me? And the chassidim said, no, Elisha should not take away your kala. And Reb Baruch, with his faraway look in his eye, he said, And if the Rasha is making plans, take away my kala, don't you think he should have a punishment? And they said, yes, nobody should take away your kala, especially a Rasha, and if he's planning to do it, he should be punished, or he should stop. And he says, the Baruch, and if he's not stopping, and if he's planning to do his evil plans, don't you think he should be stopped before he does what he wants to do to my kala? Then the Chassidim said, yes. And the Baruch said, after I say what I say, you must answer, Amen. The Rasha who is planning to take away my kala should not do what he wants to do. And if he keeps trying and doesn't stop, he must have a terrible punishment. And the Chassidim answered, Amen. And of course they didn't know, what in the world is going on? Who is this Rasha? And what does he want to do? And what's going on? And of course they never left this room. And it's the middle of the night. Kinelach Rebaruch said to the Chassidim, it's time for you to go home now. And they left the house of Rebaruch. And Rebaruch continued to do whatever he did in the night. And this is the first part of the story. Mirz Hashem, tomorrow, when all the boys are eating their lunch quietly and listening to the rest of the story, ready to listen, and we'll continue with the very interesting, mysterious story of Reb Baruch. We go to the next morning after what happened the night before, as you remember. And the next morning, Reb Baruch called over his Chassidim, the ones that were in his house in the middle of the night before. And he said, I want you to call my wife to come to me, please. And they started to shake, because they remembered that the night before, he had told his wife he wants to give her a divorce. And they thought, now he's actually going to Chas V'Shalom do it. Such a sad thing. And they call his wife, and she comes right away to her husband, Reb Baruch. And he says, if it's okay with you, I've decided to call off the divorce. Is it okay with you that we don't have a divorce? After all, you're a good woman. And she says, if that's what you want, in the same way, if you wanted me to get a divorce from you, if that's what you wanted to do, I will do it. But if you want me to stay married to you, and that's your rutzen, that's what you want, I'll certainly do that. And he says, okay, no divorce. And she goes. And then he says to his Chassidim, remember the shidduch that we made last night with the daughter of the chassid of mine who owns that restaurant? Remember that shidduch, boys? He says, I've decided also to call off the shidduch. Because, remember the Rasha from the night before? Hashem already took care of him. Now, Kinelach, the Chassidim still did not know what in the world was going on, and Reb Baruch did not explain anything more, but they hoped that Mirz Hashem will find out what's going on. And now we go into a story inside of the story, because that evening a wagon pulled up in front of the shul of Reb Baruch. And who comes into the shul? It was that chassid from 5 miles away who owns that restaurant. And all of a sudden he comes very excitedly into the shul and he wants to see Reb Baruch. He says, I must tell something to Reb Baruch that happened. And Reb Baruch called over those Chassidim also. They were so happy that they get to be also there when the Chassid tells what happened, because maybe they're going to find out what was going on the night before. And now, Kinelach, this is what the Chassid told Reb Baruch and the Chassidim, and here's the story inside of a story. Of course, he doesn't know what happened by Reb Baruch, and the Chassidim don't know what happened by him. It could be that Reb Baruch knows everything, and it probably is, and of course it is. And here, we're going to find out. The Chassid said, as you know, I have a restaurant, that's my parnasa, and mostly in the restaurant come different farmers and different peasants and different workers and goyim. Most of them are goyim, and they come over there not so much to eat. I mean, there's also food to eat, but they're more interested in drinking. They drink mashke, and they drink whiskey, and they drink strong drinks. And while they're drinking, they like to sit around the table and talk. They talk about all kinds of different things. I really don't go over there to hear what they talk about so much because I'm busy doing all the work in the restaurant. And over there comes also Big Igor. Big Igor is a very rich goy who's always bragging. You know what bragging is? He's always bragging, I'm going to do this, or I did that, and look what I did, and look how much I have, and look how many things this, and look at this and that. Always making himself to be a big shot and a Balgaiva and a Mr. Matthias man, and always bragging. And also he's always telling things he's going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And one of the things he always told the farmers and the peasants and the different people that were there, and he would always lower his voice and have this very tricky look on his face. He says, you know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He says, you know the Jew who owns this restaurant, right? Well, he has a beautiful daughter, right? Well, you know, someday this girl has to get married, and she's old enough to get married, right? And who do you think, my friends, she's going to marry? Well, one of the farmers says, well, she's a nice Jewish girl, and she's very smart, and she's very good, and she's always, you know, learning the Torah and doing mitzvot. I know what that's what the Jews do. So she's going to marry one of those Jews, those men with a beard and a hat. Probably he's going to be some kind of a rabbi, and she's probably going to be the wife of some kind of a rabbi. She's that type, you know, very nice, always, you know, acting nice and very religious. Yeah, she's a religious Jewish girl. She's going to marry a rabbi. And the other farmers and peasants and goyim say, yeah, yeah, she's going to marry some kind of a good rabbi man. That's who she's going to marry. And Big Igor said, no, she's not going to marry no rabbi. She's going to marry me, Big Igor. She's going to be Mrs. Big Igor. Yeah, that's what she's going to do. And the farmers and the peasants, they start to laugh. You, Big Igor? She's going to marry you? You have some kind of dreams in your head, because she would not marry you in a million years. First of all, those Jewish girls, they marry Jewish boys. That's the first thing. Second of all, you, Big Igor, you're Big Igor. I mean, when you marry somebody, it's going to be somebody completely different than that girl. Big Igor says, no. She is going to marry me, Big Igor. And the farmers would say, you're dreaming, and you're completely talking big shot things and ridiculous things. You might as well brag about something you could do instead of something you cannot do. And each night when they would sit around drinking, Big Ego would always come and say the same thing, that he is going to trick the girl, because see, she would never talk to him. She is very sneistic, and she would not talk to the men that came into that restaurant, even if she was there to do something. And many times the Big Igor would go over to her and try to get her to talk to him, and she would not talk to him, because out of sneeze, she would not talk to the men in that restaurant. And Big Igor would try all kinds of tricks and ways to get her to talk, and never once did she do it. And the more she wouldn't do it, the more Big Igor was bragging to his friends, saying, he's going to think of a trick to get this girl not only to talk to Big Igor, but he's going to marry this girl. And the other guy would say, forget it. Until one night, Big Igor decided to do his plan and make his trick. And this is what Big Igor did. That night, Big Igor came to the restaurant like usual to drink, and in his pocket, Big Igor had a little bottle. Now, it wasn't a little bottle of mashke, because when he goes to the restaurant, he buys a big bottle of mashke. Why does he have to bring a little bottle of mashke if he can buy in the restaurant a big bottle of mashke? No, no. This little bottle was called sleeping potion, sleeping juice. If you drink this kind of a bottle of stuff, you will fall in such a sleep that you will not wake up. It's kind of like when they make an operation on a person and they don't want the person to be awake, they give him what's called anesthesia, which is a certain kind of an injection or something to drink that puts the person completely out. And it's much more than being asleep, it's being in a very deep sleep that you can't even wake up from, unless a lot of time goes by and the stuff wears off. So Big Igor had a little bottle in Big Igor's big pocket, because this stuff is so strong, you don't need a big bottle of it. He had a little bottle of sleeping potion. And Big Igor was laughing about that. But he didn't tell anybody. And then Big Igor goes when nobody is looking, because, you know, everybody's busy drinking and eating and talking. And Big Igor goes now to the side of the room, and over there was the big grain box. Now, let me explain what was the big grain box. You see over here, this box over here, it looks like a box. Well, this is a big box, and over here they put in French fries to keep them warm. It's a big thing. If you went inside of that, do you think you could fit inside of that? It's so big. If I went inside of that, I could also fit inside of that. Now, the grain box was such a big thing like this, even bigger. But instead of the door on the side, here's the door on the side, it had a door on the top, a lid. Now, it was bigger. There were steps that go up there, and you lift up the top from the top. Inside it was full of wheat. Now, the whole winter, let me explain. When the wheat grows and it gets ripe in the springtime or the summertime, so they have a lot of wheat, and they would fill up this box with wheat. And then in the winter time, when the wheat is not growing, so they would go, whenever they have to bake bread or make stuff out of wheat, they would go to this big box, open up the lid, and take out as much wheat as they need, and then they would close the lid. Now, the whole winter, they would use more and more wheat until by the end of the winter, the big box was almost empty. Now, this is now the end of the winter, and Big Igor knows that that grain box is pretty much empty. So, in wheat, you have to climb up the steps, you have to go and reach way down to the floor of the box, or you have to just jump in and go inside of the box to get the grain from the floor. Which means there's enough room for a person to be inside of the grain box, because there's not that much wheat left. Now, Big Igor goes over there, and he knocks on the side of the box to hear if it's full or empty. And by the way it sounds, he knows it's very empty because he hears a hollow sound in the box. And he starts laughing again. Can you figure out what Big Igor is going to do? He's going to hide inside of the big grain box together with his little bottle of sleeping juice. And he goes over there when nobody's looking. He climbs up the steps. He opens up the lid. He pokes his big nose down to look to see. And he sees plenty of room. And he jumps in. And he puts the lid over him. And now he's laughing. Big Igor is carrying out his tricky plan. It's going to work. And then he waits for people to leave the restaurant because it's time for the faucet to close it. And Big Igor is planning when it's the middle of the night and nobody is there. And the family, because the family lived next door to the restaurant in their house, Big Igor is going to climb out of the box and tippy-toe to the girl's room. She'll be sleeping. He's going to take out his little bottle of sleeping juice, and he's going to pour the sleeping juice into the girl's mouth. Now, even though she's sleeping already, but she might wake up, and he doesn't want her to wake up, so he's going to give her such a sleeping juice that's going to make her sleep so deeply she won't wake up. And then Big Igor is going to lift her up out of the bed and put her over his shoulder and tippy-toe out of the house, as well as Big Igor can tippy-toe without shaking the whole house. And he's going to take her to his big house way out in the woods, and nobody will know where she is. And that's the way Big Igor plans to marry the fine Jewish girl, the daughter of the Hasid. This is his plan. Now, Kinalach, the problem is Big Igor thinks that nobody sees him and nobody knows what he's planning. Is Big Igor right or is Big Igor wrong? Big Igor is very wrong. And also, as you could figure out, he picked the wrong night to do this. Or Hashkaka Pratis, this was certainly the wrong. First, unfortunately, it was the wrong night for Big Igor, because this is a Jewish girl from a Jewish family whose father happens to be a chassid of Reb Baruch, who happens to have a connection with his chassidim, as the Rebbe has with his Yidin, and he knows what's going on. And of course the Rebbe, being Reish Bnei Yisrael, Reish Beis Yud, is going to help a Yid who's in trouble. And this is what happened, Kinalach. Just be quiet. The Yid was closing up the restaurant, and he was on his way to his house next to the restaurant, when all of a sudden, in the road was going a wagon. Now, all the time in the road was going a wagon. What's the big deal? What's a part of this story and this story inside of a story that all of a sudden there's a wagon? I mean, what do you mean? Because as the wagon was going right by the chassid's house, all of a sudden there was a big crack. And all of a sudden a wheel broke off of the wagon, and the wagon came to a stop. And the wagon driver started screaming, "Oh no! A wheel broke off of my wagon! Oh, what am I gonna do? I can't go anywhere!" And the chassid ran over to the wagon driver, and he said, "Well, you'll have to fix the wheel if you want to take the wagon further. The wheel is all broken." And the wagon driver says, "Well, where can I fix the wheel? Is there a place in this town to fix the wheel? I really have to go on my way. I have to get my the package in my wagon. I have to deliver it somewhere, and it has to be done as quickly as possible. And the chassid says, well, in this town, there is no place and nobody to fix your wheel. But in the next town, if you go about a mile away, there is a place over there. And the man says, the wagon driver says, I'll have to go, shh, please. I'll have to go to the next town to fix the wheel.